Today, we start in the beginning. We kick off our dive into the narrative lectionary with the story of creation. Only it isn't that story of creation. It is the second story of creation, found in Genesis right on the heels of the first. Rolf Jacobson of Luther Seminary says that where the first creation story is this perspective of God from 30,000 feet looking down on the world and creating it from a distance, this version of creation has God almost like a child building a terrarium. In this version, it's almost as though God's work of building the world is like play. It is joyful and intimate and creative. Today, we start in the beginning, which is a very good place to start for our use of the narrative lectionary. Now, for those of you who don't know, our worship is usually guided week to week by the Revised Common Lectionary. It is the guide for most mainline Protestant churches throughout the English-speaking language world, which is why if you go to a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church or a Lutheran church on the other side of the country, there's a good chance they will be reading the same passages that your home church might be reading that day. But the trouble is, as you may have experienced, is that sometimes the lectionary doesn't give us the whole story. It often fails to lift up all of God's story. In 2011, Walter Brueggemann suggested that the primary challenge facing the Christian church in North America today is that for most people, God is no longer a primary actor in their story. It's not that people don't believe in God, he said. It's that apart from Sunday morning, they just don't think about God all that much. And that, he said, is because the biblical story is increasingly unfamiliar to them. Even if they come to church week after week, hearing sermon after sermon after sermon, they often still struggle to understand the story of God, which is really what the Bible is all about. So this is why we are trying out the narrative lectionary, which was created for this exact purpose, to take us through the Bible, through God's story, so that we can better understand how God continues to work in the world and in our story. So this Sunday is where we get started, in the beginning, not at the 30,000 feet level, but with God down in the dirt with us, trying to get this whole world started. Now, there are many interesting things to note in this passage. First, that word Adam, or Adam, as we often pronounce it. Generations have translated that first being, Adam, created in verse 7, as man. But the original Hebrew doesn't assign any gender to this first being. Adam simply means being created of the earth. John Hayes of the Candler School of Theology said that a better name for Adam would have simply been Dusty, because that better captures what that first being was made of. God was trying out this new creature by building it from the earth. Only God notices that this creature is lonely. Notice that care and compassion. God doesn't want this creature to be alone. So God gets to work finding a creature, a helper. And this is another interesting note. That word helper carries with it a certain kind of less than connotation, almost like an assistant or someone less skilled than the person that they are helping. But the word for helper here, ezer, it is a word that is most often used to describe God. In nearly every other use of that word in the Old Testament, the ezer, the helper, is God helping humankind. So God isn't setting out here to find that first human, someone who will be subservient. No, God is setting out to create again a being, a helper, made in God's image. So the story tells us that God gets to work, and God tries really hard. And now one thing that is so endearing to this text, I think, is the way that it depicts God. This is not a depiction of God as omnipotent and all-knowing and perfect. This is a depiction of a God who will try it out, who will see how it works, who will give it a shot. And the story says that's exactly what God does. The creature needed a partner, and so God tries God's best, starting off by forming every animal of the field, every bird of the air. It says that God would bring them to Adam and even let the human name it. But even after all of the cattle and the birds and every animal of the field was named, the creature still had no partner. It's almost like a child's matching game where you say, do these match? No? Okay, well, try again. How about these? Do these match? No? Well, we'll try again. Only there was no match to be found in what God had yet created. So the only choice was to divide the human one in two. Kind of like what biologists refer to as cellular mitosis. Tradition has long used that image of God taking a rib from the man to make a woman. But again, the wording that is here implies that God removed a side from the creature, almost like dividing the creature in two. And then at last, the creature had a partner. And it says, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, for from Adam this one was taken. These are all fascinating nuances in this story, I think, and they are ones that we so rarely pay much attention to, especially because so often we only look at that first story of creation, the 30,000 feet up in the sky version. And we don't take time to dwell on this story about God, this story about an up-close, caring, curious God seeking to set up this world for success and prosperity and happiness. This story has, of course, been used by many to justify the subjugation of women. And it's humbling, I think, to realize that so much of that has simply arisen from poor translation and old storytelling. How else We might ask ourselves, are we continuing to misunderstand God's story? How else, we might wonder, are we continuing to lay our own baggage at God's feet? But this story, this creation story, this is the beginning. This is where we get our start. So what will we take away from it? How will we let it shape us as we go into the world? How will we resist what Walter Brueggemann says is the greatest challenge in Christianity, that we forget our story once we leave these walls? Well, first and foremost, this story tells us why we were created in the first place. It says in verse 6 that after God had made the earth, God realized that there was no one to take care of it. And so God made the human. We were created to till the ground, Genesis tells us. So our purpose, first and foremost, is to care for this place out of which we were formed. Second, this story tells us something powerful about how we are to understand humanity and the people with whom we share this world. If that understanding is rooted in this story of creation, then we are told that we are all connected, that we all came from the same starting point, from the dirt, from Adam. In Jewish tradition, the Mishnah says that because we are all descended from one being, if you hurt one person, it is though you hurt the entire world. And if you save one person, it is as though you have saved the entire world. So as the Mishnah suggests, because we are all connected, if you can help the person in front of you, and I can help the person in front of me, then that has the potential to lift up everybody. But finally, this story is most importantly about God. And while we may find it hard to think about this story of the Garden of Eden without thinking of what happens next, it's important for us to pause and to just dwell here and not think about how humans messed it up, but to remember God's story here. From the beginning, from the start, God is present and caring, attentive and thoughtful. God recognizes need in creation and responds. God seeks what is best for the world and for the creatures in it. And God sets out trying to make it all possible. So as we set out this year on our journey toward better understanding God's story, toward better understanding our story, let's ground ourselves in what is foundational, that we were made to care for this world, that God made all of creation with joyful, attentive delight, and that as human beings, we are connected, all of us, to support and to help one another through this life. Let's go into the world today, this week, remembering those truths, and let's see how we might find those truths continuing to play out in this world that God created. May it be so. Amen.